I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him. My Father is God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him. My Father is God, and I will exalt him. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever.
Coming, oh glorious day.
One from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Ascended, my Lord, evermore.
Hallelujah.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living he loves. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
You know, every one of us men that are married should be standing up and saying that same thing. I have the best wife in the world, but I hope every one of you disagrees with that. But you know, we are very fortunate to have women that are godly women. Very fortunate. Very fortunate. Hallelujah.
I was gone from January to Public State, and I did an internship with the missions organization, International, and I went to Haiti, Dominican Republic, Poland, and Slovakia, and we went into public schools in those countries, passed out the Book of Hope, which some of you have seen. I don't know if any teens have it. But what it is anybody not here with me? Anyway, what it is, it's like a magazine, and it tells the life of Jesus in chronological order, so from birth to death and resurrection. And it talks about different things that everybody, like, it talks about different topics like family, love and relationships and friendships and stuff like that. And it talks, it has like basic questions like that anybody would have about those issues, and it gives like answers to them and stuff. And it talks about how you could relate it to the Bible and how Jesus could handle problems and stuff like that. And so we passed those out in school. And when we were in Slovakia, we worked with a rap artist and a band from the States here, and they came with us. And we went into the public schools in the day during the day, and then in the evening we had concerts. It was like the public squares or like a big auditorium or something. And one night, over 300 people got saved at Square concert. And that's the news really cool that I got saved. And thank you, everybody that helped me and joined me, because that means a lot. You guys won't know how awesome it is.
I haven't seen that book, and is it around here someplace?
We used to have one in there.
We do. We have several different ones.
Well, in my box.
Yes.
In our box. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and play it in
there? Well, sadly, so you can pay attention to this.
There are several different types of books that they actually hand out. They hand out books to several different age groups, and the very young age groups, it's more like just a picture book with some words in it. But then the older elementary age, it's more like a comic book type thing. And they also have, this is for high school, junior and senior high school.
Like
that
the
one.
That we give out in the States, but like overseas, this is one that we give out in universities.
Okay.
So this isn't like a team that they
okay. But that was designed for this country, United States, to be handed out in schools. But I understand they're very culturally sensitive also. So they deal with issues that are common to their culture. But they're introducing the scriptures in that culture. So, but it's basically the gospels in harmony. So it's like all of the things that happened in the gospels, it's all put in one story form. So it's not four gospels, it's one story. But there is a, it does give you the way of salvation in there. And other issues that are important in the culture that they're handed out in. So it's a very powerful medium, and they have been getting very, very dynamic results from it. So I've been very impressed with some of the things that I've heard about it. So hallelujah. Anybody else?
You know, you never know what's going to happen throughout the week. On Friday, I was told about natural gas. I went down. I already knew what was wrong. I went down there because the gas company was there. They said it was in the attic, so I went down there. I don't know what people were outside. And the natural gas guy said it was 4% is flammable, and it's at 2% in the attic. So silly me, I can crawl right up here. And I felt myself just starting to really go out and start to black out. So the faster I went up, I went down a little faster. I got back down, I went back up, and it was down 1%. And I hooked it up, and about the whole time it was sort of God, I don't want to get sick, I don't want to get sick. And I was already sick. It was already in my brain, the gas and everything. So I got it fixed. I got out of there and heading home on the road and started praying. And Tim says, "Oh, don't worry, you're going to be just fine." I said, "I think we're going to go to the hospital." And he said, "No, I'm not going to take the hospital." So I ended up praying and then he pulled over. And I this at 10 o'clock at night.
We can tell
that
natural gas is
still there. Yes, it's still there. I just thank God for it. What?
Doesn't seem to bother her too much. I see.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Like him is so high and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no. Saint, find this friend, forsake him. No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner, find that he would not take him. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
That is a beautiful song. Thank you. That is a beautiful song.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid. made for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious omnipotent hand. When through the dark waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. I will be with thee, thy trials to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
Gotta stand.
To a land on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars is flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away
in the morning.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away.
Hallelujah.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence.
feasting at your table and surrounded by your glory. In your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. Oh my God, you are my strength. I'm weak, you're always strong. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. I just want to be. I just want to be with you.
Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103, the 103rd Psalm. Continuing a series on health and healing. Part three of this series tonight, sickness and sanctification. Sickness and sanctification. Psalm 103, the first three verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight and in our study together. Help us, Lord, to understand more about sickness and sanctification. Lord, we pray that the message would be clear tonight, and we pray for wisdom and discernment in each of our lives as far as our own health care is concerned, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Erickson, age 65, won $95,000 in a lacrosse trial in March because a 6-inch clamp was left inside his body after a lung operation. Erickson said he had not planned to sue, but then the hospital sent him a bill for the subsequent operation, which was solely to remove the clamp. And so we know that even those in the professional world do make mistakes. This study is to help us understand the scriptural teaching on disease and healing. We have relegated the study of disease to medical personnel. And I've been interested in this for quite some time. And I believe that the church should be involved in the study of disease. In Bible times, it was interesting. People had to go and show themselves to the priest, and the priest would pronounce them healed. I mentioned last time we had this series that if I were to train pastors today, I would require the study of medicine. It's an area that I'm weak in. It's an area that I would like to increase knowledge in, because I believe that the church should have jurisdiction here, but it has lost it. The main jurisdiction as far as health decisions goes should be within the family, but we have turned our responsibility and we follow whatever the professionals tell us to do. There is an article in the USA Today. A number of women were asked, Where do you go when you are sick? Who do you talk to? Not surprisingly, almost half of all women said that their primary care doctor and the main source of health information is from their primary care doctor. The other half reported other ways, and this is what I thought was interesting. The breakdown was like this. 24% of all women learn about their problems and solutions from magazines and newspapers. 7% from TV and radio. 5% from a relative or a friend. 5% from self-help books. 4% from school courses. And 2% from a pharmacist. On a lighter note, I have some actual doctor's chart bloopers that I thought I would share with you this evening. Some of these are quite amusing. Patient has chest pain if she lies on her left side for over a year. On the second day, the knee was better, and on the third day, it had completely disappeared. Father died in his 90s of female trouble in his prostate and kidneys. Skin somewhat pale but present. The pelvic examination will be done later on the floor. Admitted in error. Patient was seen in consultation by Dr. Blank, who felt we should sit on the abdomen, and I agree. Large brown stool ambulating in the hall. Here's my favorite two. Patient has two teenage children, but no other abnormalities. And discharge status, alive, but without permission. And the last one, if he squeezes the back of his neck for 4 or 5 years, it comes and goes. A person is made up of a body, soul, and spirit, and the church is involved with the final two. The church is involved with the spirit and the soul. Why not the body also? Sanctification has much to say about the condition of the body. And do you know that there can be, and there are, diseases that are traced to spiritual causes? And to treat those diseases without taking care of the spiritual reason behind them is to take away the pain but fail to find out what is causing the pain. And that can be deadly. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we're told, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Sanctification includes not only the soul and the spirit of a person, but also their body. We have to become sanctified in certain areas of our lives, in physical areas of our lives, in spiritual areas of our lives, before God will heal us. Diseases in our lives can be the result of separation from God and His Word in specific areas of our life. Let me repeat that for you. I want you to get that. Diseases in our lives can be. Now, it doesn't always have to be. It can be, however, the result of separation from God and His Word in specific areas of our life. We have asked the medical community to be our healers of spiritually rooted diseases, and they are not qualified. The medical community does not know the cause of over 80% of diseases. Now, if they don't know the cause, how can they know the cure? Because the church has failed in this area, people are running to alternative and new age ways of disease management. And let me stress that the first and foremost function of the church when it comes to disease, I believe, should be in prevention, not in management. If we follow God's laws, God said to His people, "I will put none of these diseases upon you that were upon the Egyptians." And I think of many of the diseases that we have come as a result of not knowing things that we need to know. God says, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Now, I would like to share with you some diseases that have the potential of being spiritually rooted, and I say potential because when I mention these diseases, there could be a spiritual cause, but there can be other reasons for these diseases as well. Do you understand that? What I'm saying, it is possible that there are spiritual reasons behind some of these diseases, and we never stop to consider that aspect of it. We treat the disease without treating the person's spiritual condition, without treating their soul. And that, I'm afraid, does more harm than good. Because although the body is important, the body is the least important of the three. Your spirit is the most important part of you. Your soul would be next, and the body would be last. And so I have been searching this out, and I have more information that I'm going to give you tonight. And there's a lot that I don't know. I'm just beginning to touch the tip of the iceberg. Some diseases that are spelled out in Scripture. If you do this, this could very well happen. First of all, bone diseases. Bone diseases. An example would be osteoporosis. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Envy and jealousy are the cause, spiritually speaking, of rotting the bones. Now, I know that some bone diseases can come from lack of calcium. But also, the Scripture says that envy destroys the bones. Jealousy rots the bones. Envy eats up a man like a moth eats a garment. Envy is the cancer of Christianity. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, it says that a woman who makes her husband ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. In fact, as I was going through this and just looking up the word bones, I was surprised the number of times the Bible mentions the word bones. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and that means health to the entire body, and marrow to the bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There's a list of things that are given here. If we trust in the Lord with all our heart, we don't lean into our own understanding, but we acknowledge him to direct our paths, and we rely upon his wisdom, and we fear the Lord, and we depart from evil. God says that will bring health to our bones. So what do you think happens if you don't do those things? It destroys the bones. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30. It says that the light of the eyes, which means to see and desire, the light of the eyes, to see and desire that which is good, rejoices the heart. And a good report makes the bones fat. If God could have a good report of you, if people have a good report of you, you're doing the right thing so that people can say good things of you and give a good report of you, then you are doing that which strengthens and makes the bones healthy. Number two, the compromised immune system. A compromised immune system, which could include allergies. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You don't think that can happen? You know, nobody ever argues that fear, which is an emotion, causes sweat. You ever been frightened? You ever been fearful and just had sweat just start pouring off you? Because that emotion of fear produced something in your body. I'm telling you that a merry heart produces something in your body. It's good for you. It's like a medicine. Pleasant words, sweet words are health to the body. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know that laughter can strengthen the immune system? It has been documented that laughter causes the body to manufacture T cells and killer cells. Now, since this is true, the opposite equations of this proverb would also mean that a broken spirit dries up the bones or destroys the immune system. Has your heart ever been broken? Has anybody hurt you so severely that it might have compromised your immune system? See, when you have a compromised immune system, you automatically have allergies. Isaiah talks about the brokenhearted in Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." God wants to heal those hurts. If you have been hurt, God wants to heal those hurts. One of the reasons that Jesus came was so that he could bind up the brokenhearted, so that he could heal those whose hearts have been broken. And then heart attacks. Jesus said in Luke 21:26, "Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, where the powers of heaven shall be shaken." One of the basic causes for heart attacks is fear and anxiety. That's what Jesus said. In Psalm 104, verse 14, "He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart." So God has provided these things. He's given us herbs for the service of man. He's given us things that we can grow, that we can eat, that would be healthy for us. And then it specifically mentions bread which strengthens man's heart. If you are fearful, if you have the spirit of fear, Jesus said that men's hearts would fail them because of their fear. And then we're told that the remedy for this is not only to not fear, but to eat bread, because there is something about bread which strengthens a man's heart. No wonder Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Bread, coupled with God's word, is a well-rounded diet to take care of the physical and the spiritual. Bread takes care of the physical. The word, the bread of life, takes care of the spiritual. Because Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Bread to take care of the physical, the word of God to take care of the spiritual. You know that God tells us that twice in Matthew 4:4 and in Luke 4:4. Jesus repeated that statement, so it's very important for us. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Number four, sleep disorders. Sleep disorders. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Psalm 91:5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." Now, if you're not able to sleep, there may be a physical reason, but there might also be a spiritual reason. According to the book, Principles of Anatomy and Physiology, the hypothalamus gland is the center that maintains the waking and sleeping patterns. Sleep disorders can be caused by the hypothalamus gland responding to your spiritual and emotional state. You know, how many times do we lay awake at night worrying about tomorrow? And yet Jesus said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, of course, you may watch a horror movie and get fear. You have opened up your spirit to that spirit of fear and all kinds of evil. I never saw the movie The Exorcist, but my cousin did. And he spent that very night with me that he saw The Exorcist. That night, he had all kinds of nightmares. He had opened his spirit up to things that God never intended for him to see and to be exposed to. And people do that all kinds of, all the time, and they wonder why. Why are they terrorized? You have a responsibility to guard yourself. You have a responsibility to guard yourself and receive protection from God in regard to torment. When you watch junk on your TV or VCR, movies about mutilation, horror, etc., there is no protection from God from the sleeplessness and results of watching that stuff. You have brought it on yourself. The psalmist said in Psalm 101 and verse 3, "No wicked thing shall I put before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Number 5, multiple personality disorders. Multiple personality disorder. Luke chapter 8 and verse 2, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom sent, of whom went 7 devils." The way many secular psychologists deals with multi-personal personality disorders, it's called integration and fusion. Integration and fusion is where the therapist tries to get all the personalities to live together and agree with each other. And in fact, I heard that one Christian therapy is to get these multi-personalities saved. Let me tell you, you don't bargain with demons, you drive them out. You clean up your life, you sanctify yourself. Because if you don't sanctify yourself and you don't clean yourself, that demon that is gone from you will go and find 7 more wicked than himself and will come back and take residence. Sanctification is necessary in order to for us to be free from the attacks of the enemy. Number 6, weak and sickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 through 31. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Just a few years ago, I started hearing about this phrase, chronic fatigue syndrome. And I wonder how much of that is caused by people violating the communion table. Weak and sick. You know, there are people that, I'm not talking about old people, I'm talking about young people. They're weakly, they're sickly, and I wonder if it's because they have not judged themselves properly and sanctified themselves before they take communion. I'm not trying to scare you away from taking communion. In fact, if you do what you're supposed to do before you take communion, you'll be healthier than ever. Part of the reason for the communion table is for us to sanctify ourselves, to judge ourselves, to examine ourselves. And if there is any unconfessed sin, at that point we confess it and we take it before the Lord. Number 7, eating disorders. Eating disorders. Job chapter 21 and verse 25. "And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul and never eateth with pleasure." Because of the bitterness of his soul, Job says, they never eat with pleasure. Eating disorders can be caused by bitterness. In fact, I suspect that many physical problems come as a result of unforgiveness and bitterness. I believe that bitterness is a cancer. I also believe that bitterness can cause cancer. I know someone who became hurt and bitter, and soon after they became hurt and bitter, died of cancer. Coincidence? One time I was praying for somebody, and while I was praying for them, they were slain in the spirit. And I waited for them to wake up so that I could ask them if they were healed. And I said, after they came to, I said, were you healed of your cancer? Do you think you were healed? And they said, I don't know about that. But the whole time I was under, God was dealing with me about my bitterness. And you know what? That person, their cancer went into remission. Many years later, that person took that bitterness back. And very soon after that, died of cancer. The cancer had started in their body again. I wonder how many diseases are caused by wrong emotions and by sins in our life that we don't deal with. Now again, not everybody that has cancer, it's because of bitterness. I'm just saying it's possible. We have to check the spiritual reasons for it. And no amount of chemotherapy in the world will do any good if there's a spiritual cause for that sickness or what's behind it. God would rather have us deal with the bitterness and leave the results of the healing of the disease up to Him. I came across a very interesting verse that I have just been pondering for quite some time. It's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, his sickness, his disease. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Now the spirit holds up under all kinds of circumstances when it should have given out. But when it is wounded, it cannot stand up to the infirmity. Have you ever seen somebody? They were met with all kinds of diseases and problems, and yet because their spirit was strong, they were strong. By the same token, have you ever met anybody who gave up? I've seen relatively healthy people not want to live any longer and give up, and their spirit could not sustain them, and they died. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Physical sickness does not have to destroy your spirit, but if your spirit is destroyed, your body will also be destroyed. I believe that's what that verse is teaching. I believe that's what it says. Paul was able to sustain his faith. His spirit was able to sustain him when he went through all kinds of things. God's spirit coupled with his spirit helped Paul sustain all of the trials and tribulations that he went through. Goliath would have been in a hospital bed over it. But because Paul was strong in spirit, he was able to sustain those infirmities. Now, there are many cause and effect sequences throughout the Bible, and I'm not going to mention them all tonight, but let me just share a few of these with you as well. Murmuring and complaining leads to health problems. Look at Numbers 12, 1 through 15 sometime. Read about Miriam's leprosy. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, talking about this, Paul said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And then he went on to say, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. We need to take note of what happened to those who murmured and complained and make sure we don't do it, because they were destroyed by the destroyer. God allowed them to be destroyed because of their murmuring and complaining. Hating and not obeying instruction leads to health problems. Proverbs 5, 11 through 13. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. He said, see what he's saying? He said, my flesh and my body was consumed. It was destroyed. I was sick. I was diseased. And then he tells us why. Because he hated instruction. He despised reproof. And he did not obey the voice of his authorities, his teachers. And because he did that, serious health problems were the result. I've seen involvement in the occult bring health problems. Often in following the various attempts by mankind to help himself or to heal himself, we may have opened ourselves up to all kinds of occultic intrusion and maybe following a mindset or action that is an abomination to God because these ways of thinking and actions do not even include God and do not match His Word. Some people will do anything that they can to be healed, never mind if it goes against the warnings of Scripture. Some observable characteristics of occult bondage and influence are deep, deep confusion, distrust of God, unable to sleep because of night terror, hostility, aggression, and conflict, fear of authority, fear of relationships, suspicion. And when I say suspicion, I mean somebody that's really suspicious. Deep suspicion, insanity, depression, oppression, tormenting thoughts, certain types of pain, especially in, from what I've read many times having to do with things in the central nervous system, seems to be where the devils, demons attack, out-of-body experiences, fear, obsessions. Recently, or a few months ago, I was able to help somebody with a real obsession. And I won't mention any names. They do not attend church here, but some of you might know them, know this person. A real obsession. And we're able to trace that back. God just gave me a question to ask her. And I asked her. And she had been guilty and had done something. And we prayed for God to take back the ground that she surrendered through that activity. And today, she is free from that. But I want you to know that you don't mess in the demonic realm. You don't mess with Ouija boards, young people. You don't mess in the demonic. You don't mess with the occult at all. Because you open yourselves up, and it might be years down the road, as what happened with this particular individual. It was years down the road when that obsession manifested itself, but it will come. Fear. Oh, I mentioned that. Inability to hear from God. Because they hear all these other voices. And they're not able to distinguish the voice of the Lord from their own thoughts or the voice of the enemy, which intrudes. Rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness, which is iniquity. Disobedience to God's word. And by that I mean becoming involved in chronic activities that are blatantly opposed to what the Scripture teaches. Losing interest in church and reading God's word. And an inability to develop a prayer relationship with God. This next one I will just mention because I've heard it from two different sources now, and it's really interesting. And again, this is probably more for young people. If you have this, it's not necessarily the result of what I'm going to say, but it could be. And you need to ask yourself if it's the case. Recent information on acne is really interesting. They have just come out with a statement this past year in the medical community that adolescent acne is the result of peer pressure. It's not just that the child is in puberty and the oil glands are exploding and presto, we have acne. What they have discovered, for the most part, is that adolescent acne is rooted in anxiety and fear that comes out of peer pressure. Simple acne is coming out of the fear of man. Young people face this. They face fear of rejection, fear of what their peers think. And in puberty and adolescence, it's peer pressure, and peer pressure is fear. And they are finding that that is many reasons the cause for acne. Greed. Greed destroys life. Proverbs 1:19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. If a person is not greedy, they shall live, but if a person is greedy, they will die. Jude 1:11 says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." Anger. Anger damages a person's health in many ways. Anger carries a high price tag. It damages the health of the person who is angry, as well as those who are affected by the anger. It destroys vital relationships and results in financial loss due to disease, unwise judgment, or destructive behavior. Here are some of the things that they have discovered that anger contributes to. First of all, heart disease. Every outburst of anger kills thousands of muscle fibers in a person's heart. Over the years, scars accumulate, blocking vital passages and contributing to heart failure and death. Anger also stimulates the adrenal glands to produce a certain hormone. This hormone strengthens a person during times of crisis. And when these hormones are released in large quantities, the heart beats more rapidly and powerfully. Some blood vessels contract while others dilate, and the liver then increases the level of glucose in the blood, alerting every member of the body. That's good. However, when triggered by anger, this energy remains unused because of the damaging imbalances in the bloodstream that's caused by anger. Heart disease. Atherosclerosis is also many times a result of anger. Each expression of anger saturates the a certain lining. And because of cholesterol, endothelial lining with cholesterol, making the artery walls thick and elastic. And then hypertension and kidney damage. An imbalance of hormones resulting from anger also damages organs such as the kidneys. The individual filtering unit of the kidney contains a network of capillaries from which waste is filtered. High levels of hormones damage the walls of these capillaries so that they become clogged, causing a buildup of blood. The kidney senses the buildup and attempts to correct the problem by elevating blood pressure throughout the body by secreting amounts of renin. Renin increases the heart's systolic pressure and induces hypertension. And we've known for years, right, that anger raises a person's blood pressure. And then high cholesterol count. Many people try to regulate the level of cholesterol in their blood by eating foods low in fat. However, recent studies suggest that anger and other emotional stresses contribute as much to high cholesterol as does diet. One angry outburst may elevate cholesterol levels for as long as 10 days. The results of unresolved prolonged anger probably nullify any attempts to lower cholesterol levels by means of a low-fat diet. You see what I'm saying? If you take the diet, it still is not going to solve the problem because the cholesterol level is not necessarily caused by the food but because by the anger. And so you deal with the diet, you still haven't dealt with the spiritual cause, and you're still going to have the same problems. Anxiety. You probably would not disagree with me because you've heard for years that anxiety can cause ulcers. And again, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Anxiety about our future needs results in an overproduction of hydrochloric acid and pepsin. Excessive amounts of these two juices eat away at the lining of the stomach, and they cause ulcers. Lust. Lust is dangerous and deadly because it destroys not only the body, but also the soul. Destroys both. James 1:15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death." Solomon warned, lust not after her beauty, the beauty of the strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. He'll wind up poverty-stricken. And more than that, he'll wind up dead. And he goes on to say in chapter 6 and verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. It destroys your soul. I would encourage you, if you have lust, do whatever you can, whatever you have to do to overcome lust. It'll rob you materially. It'll rob your health. It'll rob your soul. District Council a couple years ago, the guy was preaching and he was talking about lust and adultery. And he said, if we ever catch any of you pastors looking at pornography, we will take your license and you'll never get them back. Lowell was there. Lowell had a very wise comment. He whispered in my ear. He says, that's the least of a person's problems because they lose your own soul. You lose your soul. That's not worth it. It's not worth it. Lust kills the body and the soul. I'd like to end with a passage of Scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And it begins with verse 15. It says, then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves. Listen for this word, sanctified. Sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received at the hand of the Levites. For there were many in this congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, had not sanctified themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. They ate the Passover not in purity. They had not performed the ceremonial laws that they should have before they partook of the Passover. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek the Lord. The Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Here's a part I want you to get. Listen to these words. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. You see, there are many people that came, they were not sanctified. They were unclean. They had disobeyed the law of God. They had been disobedient to his word. They had sinned. But Hezekiah prayed for them. And not only were those people forgiven, but they were healed. See, obviously, because they had been disobedient to the word of God, sickness had entered into the midst. And I looked up the word healed, and it's not just healing of sin, it's healing of body. And I want you to know today that we have access to God. We don't need Hezekiah to pray for us tonight. If we have become involved in some sin, or if there's some sin in our life, some emotional sin, some physical sin, some act of sin, if we come to the Lord and we ask the Lord to forgive us, he will do it. And he might just heal our body as well. And so I would like you to, first of all, be willing to put away whatever needs to be put away so that you can prevent these diseases. That's the main goal, prevention. But if maybe you're here tonight and you have one of these diseases that we mentioned, or you have something and you think it might be tied in to sin or a lack of sanctification in your life, why don't you come to the Lord, ask forgiveness, let him purify you, and give him the opportunity to heal your body as well. Again, I want a disclaimer on this message. Not everything is a result of sin. Not every disease is a result of sin. Some things just happen. Some are natural causes. Some God allows for his glory. But there are other sins that are a result of chastisement and judgment in our lives. And that's the reason for the communion table, that we would examine ourselves and judge ourselves and see that if that is not the case. And if it is, we could take it before the Lord, knowing that He will forgive us. The Lord heard and the Lord healed, but sanctification had to come first. And my whole thought is that if we bypass the Lord when we get sick, if we bypass the Lord, we might even get healed, but we're not sanctified. And sanctification is the goal. Paul said that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight. It's a different kind of message tonight. I was hoping basically just to teach you a few things tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. The Lord heard and healed. The Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. To be honest with you, I don't really know where to go with this tonight. This is an individual matter. But if you have anything that needs to be taken care of tonight, I would encourage you to do it. My goal is to know enough about this so that when people are sick and they call for the elders of the church to pray for them, we would be able to say, have you defiled yourself in any of these areas? Because it's possible. It's not always the case, but it's possible that you could be suffering as a result of something that you have done. Would you sanctify yourself tonight? Would you sanctify that temple, that body? Would you allow yourself to be holy tonight? Would you just say to the Lord, Lord, sanctify me, cleanse me, make me holy? And then if there is something in your life that needs to be given up, do it. Make a commitment to the Lord. Vow to Him tonight that as He gives you the grace and the ability, you'll do it. Maybe we could sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Is that what you're looking for? Okay. Father, tonight, we thank You that You are one who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all diseases. Lord, there is nothing too hard. There's nothing difficult, too difficult for You. I pray, Lord, that You would lead us in this area. Really, it's probably new to most people, new to me. Lord, as we step out and desire to honor Your word in the area of sanctification and sickness, Lord, that You would show Yourself strong in our behalf, that we would see Your word to be alive as one that works. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Let's make it our prayer this evening. If you need to come to the altar, if you need to pray, please do. These altars are always open, of course. If you'd like to be anointed with oil and prayed for, we'd be glad to do that tonight. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Make it a prayer. Lord, prepare me. would do me a favor? As you read through the scriptures, if you find any cause and effect sequences that are related to health, if you would let me know. Because I would like to know. I'd like to study this further. I've gone through quite a few scriptures. I know that there are people out there that are teaching spiritual causes and roots of certain diseases, but some of the things they teach I can't find in Scripture. I'm only interested in what Scripture has to say, not what somebody's opinion is. And their opinion might be right, but I'm only interested in what Scripture has to say. So if you come across those, just write them down and share them with me. I'd appreciate it very much. All right? Let's pray and ask God to bless our fellowship downstairs. Lord, we pray that you would bless our fellowship downstairs. Lord, we thank you that we get to help Nora celebrate her birthday tonight. Lord, we thank you for her and the godly woman and the example she is. Lord, we thank you for her willingness to be involved in service here in the church. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless her very richly. And Lord, you would meet every need that she has. Lord, that you would draw her closer to you this coming year than she has ever been before. Help her to grow in maturity and the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.